Hello and welcome to another episode of The Music Industry with The Raven in the Road. Today we have a special guest with us, Dan Nickel. He is an educational representative from Music and Arts, also known as an EdRep. And this position is rather unique, so he serves as a liaison between the store and the band directors here in the community. So Dan is going to walk us through his story, how he got involved in this role, the ins and outs, the day-to-day, as well as some of the struggles and hurdles that he's had to overcome over these last several years.
All right, so hello and welcome, Dan. Thank you for taking the time out.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So could we just take a second to kind of dig into your background about how you first came into this role and what enticed you about it?
Yeah, well, so when I started off in this, it was really just kind of an accident. My degree in college was music business or music industry. It was really meant to, with that degree, go more into the record business. So more of the A&R, the business side, negotiating contracts, stuff like that. And I had a friend of mine who was an educational representative in the eastern part of North Carolina. He was a fraternity brother. He was coming back to school to finish and drove up to the house in a minivan, and I was kind of giving him grief over driving a minivan. I'm like, dude, you're in your 20s. You're driving a minivan. That looks kind of funny. And he was explaining to me what he did, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool. How did you get into that? And, you know, he was going through the process. I was like, well, I got to do an internship this summer for my degree before I can graduate. You think you can hook me up? And he said, well, I'll give you some contact info for some people. Cool. Okay. So talked to one of the retail managers, ended up getting an internship, and I didn't get to because it was summer, you know, not really much going on in the school service world, so didn't really get to spend a lot of time working with educational reps, but I got to work in the store, work in the repair shop a little bit, work in the warehouse side a little bit, so I got a little bit of everything in my internship, so distribution, repair shop, retail, and lo and behold, they hired me on to work in the retail store. There weren't really any rep positions, and rep positions didn't really open up a whole lot back then. You're talking like 13 years ago. So worked in the retail store for a couple of years and kept putting in for a job. Every time a rep spot opened, I'd put in for it, and I'd keep getting turned down. You know, I wasn't a former band director. They felt like I wouldn't know enough or know as many people. You know, my network wasn't as wide. And I just kept at it. And lo and behold, one day a position came open, and it was in Columbia and Charleston, South Carolina. So pretty much half the state of South Carolina. And I just decided, okay, well, I'm going to do it. Take a leap of faith. Here we go. And jumped right in, and I've been at it ever since. So that was 13 years ago I started, 11 years on the road. So, yeah.
And heck yeah. I love it. Yeah, especially since, like, you know, not getting it right at first, but I feel like that commitment shows that, like, I really want this to, like,
I knew, like, I'm not a very social person, which is kind of weird. Like, I can talk and I don't mind talking to people, but I'm kind of a homebody. Dealing in retail, like, I just knew I wasn't cut out for that world. Okay. I like helping musicians. I like talking to parents. I like talking to kids. But I knew, I was like, this isn't really where I'm supposed to be. This just doesn't feel right. And so that's why I just kept trying. And I had a friend of mine who worked in the store. She was a band director in the area. And so she kept giving me pointers and talked to me, introduced me to people. And so I think, in the end, that ended up helping me a little bit, you know, to get the position. But I had to work. It was basically just prove yourself. So. Yeah.
How did the responsibilities change, I guess, from working retail to working as an ed rep?
So working in retail, you see one side of the business. School services, you see a whole different side. And the world opens up to you more. You get to kind of like Wizard of Oz. You get to peek behind that curtain a little bit and see what goes on. You know, most of the folks work in retail, you know, you only deal with one section of the business, and that's all you focus on is somebody comes in the store, you sell them an item, and then that's pretty much the end of the transaction. Some of the lesson parents and the students, you got to know a little bit more, but for the most part, it was just very transactional, whereas this side of the business is a little more relationship-based. Okay. So it was pretty neat to see, one, how the business operated, and I got to see how all angles of the business work in tandem to make everything function for a music retail business. You know, it just changed my whole perspective on everything. Everything was so more wide open than what I had known just working in a store. So it was pretty cool to see that change. But I had a lot more responsibility too. I mean, now you're talking about in the store, I was only doing sales, and yeah, I would have a sales goal. But that was just for me. Whereas now I'm responsible for the whole market. So my job,
yeah,
and it kind of gets to what an ed rep really is, or an educational representative, ed rep for short. What we do is, our job is to basically make sure the market is healthy, making sure that music students are still involved, or students are still involved in music. I do everything under the sun, like in the store, just sold stuff. On the road, I'm helping band directors and orchestra directors recruit kids to be in the program. Oh, so okay. I go out and, you know, help if they need my help. Some directors are very, very comfortable recruiting. Some are not, you know. So the ones that need my help with that, I'll go and do a dog and pony show for the kids and get them all excited and join band. It's going to be fun. Join orchestra. It's going to be fun. Do all this. And they'll sign up, and that helps, you know, me go out and rent them instruments because they need instruments. So I rent them instruments, I sell them instruments and all the gear that comes with that.
Yeah.
If they need lessons, hey, our store sells lessons, you know, go take lessons in the store. So I'm constantly keeping the market healthy and making sure it's like being a small business owner in a way, because, you know, if I was running my own music store, I would have to be doing the same thing. The only difference for me is I get to play with house money in a way, you know. I'm not fronting my own, you know, paying for my own van and paying for my inventory and doing all this. You know, I get to work with a you know, a company to help do all that, but I'm keeping the market healthy behind the scenes and getting kids to do music and get involved in music, go through the store, go through me. So there's a lot more responsibility than I had just working in a store, you know, selling a guitar or a set of drums.
I never really thought about it from the marketing perspective. Well,
it's a lot more involved than I think some people see. And even you know, music educators, their point of view of me is I come by their room, you know, once a week, every other week or so, and we talk for 30 minutes and bye, see you next time. And, you know, I'll pick up repairs to take to our repair shop, and I'll, you know, bring product out, you know, that they ordered and stuff like that. But you know, they only see a fraction of it. The store staff, they only see a fraction, but then, you know, like an iceberg, what's on the surface can be kind of small, but underneath and behind the scenes, what I'm doing is very large, and, you know, and there's a lot of little things you have to do, a lot of plates you have to keep spinning. So it's pretty neat. It's fun, you know. It sounds daunting, you know.
But I was about to say, no pressure.
It's really not that bad. You know, you just have to be able to stay organized and stay on top of it, and it's a lot of fun.
If someone was kind of play devil's advocate and just say, well, why can't all the kids or all the teachers go to the store instead of having an ed rep as a position in general?
Well, they could. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of send them all to the store many times. Like, just go to the store. I don't need to deal with that. But really, what and we want them to go to the store. It's not like my job is to take the store away. I want them to go to the store. Yeah. That's providing jobs for however many people we have in that particular store. So I want them to go. But what necessitated it really? And I put my historian hat on here. So the job's been around for a long time, and it's been called different things through the years. I mean, my first manager, he had been doing this probably since the 60s. And back then it was just, the job's changed a lot since then, but it was just called a roadman, you know, road sales. And he did essentially the same thing. It's gotten more involved since then, but essentially, it's a way to, again, make sure the market's healthy. I can go out and I can do things on the road that they do in the store, but it's not necessarily my whole job. My job is really more to be that liaison between the music educator and the music retail store. So I'm the go-between between them, so they have a face and someone to talk to. And if there's a problem, I'm there to help them fix it. If they need something or, again, need help, like I said, recruiting, I go out and I help recruit and get butts in seats, essentially, and that's business for the whole company, you know, in repair and in instrument rentals and instrument sales and accessory sales. Yeah. And, you know, it just helps build that relationship, and that relationship is what keeps business coming into the store. So without me, yes, you could do it, but the job would be a lot more harder. And there are many smaller music retail stores that do not have an educational rep. And they'll tell you, if you talk to a lot of them, you know, their biggest struggle is, well, how do I get out in my community? Mm-hmm. How do I get out and get that business? Well, right. I'm out there doing that every day. Yeah. An ambassador. Yeah. It's a great way to say it. You know, I'm the face of, you know, my company to those educators to say, hey, you know, they may not even know they need something or that there is a service to help them with whatever their issue is. And I can help them know what that is and be that person. So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than just going out and you pick an instrument up, you drop an instrument off, you know, from the shop, or you bring out a box of reeds or a couple boxes of rosin or some strings, or, you know, there's so much more to it. And like that, the relationship is the big key. It's what helps cement everything.
The best advice I'd been given was, don't be a salesman. Like, you want to be great at sales, don't be in the business of people. Like, care about them, listen,
exactly,
and just fix their needs. And sometimes that's saying, not now.
Yeah.
But I'll reach out to you in about a year.
And there are times where I have had, you know, directors slam the door in my face because, you know, they may view me at first as a salesman, and that's fine. And, you know, I've worked with plenty of directors that at first it was like, well, I'm already working with somebody. Okay, well, that's cool. You know, and that's totally fine. I respect that. If I can't be your first choice, let me be your second. So if there's something they can't do for you, you know, I'm in the background. I'll help you out. So there's, I think that relationship's more important than the sales side. And I've always approached my job as, I'm here to help. I'm not here to just make a sale. The sales come along with that. When people trust you, I mean, we all know people do business with people they like. Yeah. And I think that's the big thing, is try and be helpful. I mean, a lot of these bands, like, I live in this community and I want to see these bands succeed and these orchestras succeed. I want to see them do well. And I want to see these kids go on to play in some pretty cool places. You know, I never know if I'm handing, you know, a beginner's trumpet to the next Miles Davis, you know, so I want to see those kids succeed and I want to see them do something. So to me, you know, I've always approached this job with a servant's heart. You know, I'm here to help, and the rest of it just comes. Yeah. And that's always how I've approached this. So
I like that. All right. So earlier we had talked about, when you're doing the internship, you're talking about summer, there wasn't really a lot going on, obviously, you know, school kind of being out. But how does your job change from season to season? Are the roles like still the same? Is there a fluctuation?
It changes. There's busy times. There's not busy times. Probably the easiest way to go through the seasons is just start like where we are now, beginning of the year. Usually January through March is mostly music educators are getting ready for, you know, MPA or concert festival. MPA stands for, you know, music performance adjudication. Or assessment in some places. So it's basically, you know, band directors, orchestra directors, they're very worried about, you know, they're performing in front of their peers. And so they're worried and nervous. And so you're trying to make sure they're calm. You know, are they doing okay, you know, mentally themselves? Because right. That's very nerve wracking.
Part-time therapist.
Yeah. And I wear that hat quite a few times. You know, making sure they have the stuff they need, their instruments are in good playing shape. Making sure they have the music, the scores they need, all that stuff. So this time of year, that's kind of where I'm at, is, hey, make sure your stuff's ready. All that's going on. I'm also laying groundwork for the fall now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting that process now and making sure that everything that directors are going to need for the fall, I'm getting it prepared and everything ready. I'm starting to set up parent meetings for renting instruments and start setting up recruitment drives, that's all going on now. I'm getting all that groundwork laid. So two things at the same time, you know, trying to make sure everything's running. After that, usually from March to the end of the year is pretty much the end of the year concerts going on for, you know, music educators. So they're getting ready to wind down. We're doing the recruitment drives. We're doing the parent meetings where I'm renting them the instrument and I'll deliver it, you know, in the fall. So we go ahead and we get all that information in now and get their instruments ready over the summer. So summer is kind of, you know, most everybody thinks I just take 2 months off like a teacher and I'm just hanging out, going to the beach. And yes, that's when I take my vacation time because it usually is slower and it's the only time I can really take vacation because my job, you know, I'm the only one that does it. So, you know, I'm the only one in my market doing what I do. So if I take a day off, I've got 2 days to catch up for the one day I had off. So the time I really take my vacations, summer, when it's a little dead. But even while that's all going on, I'm still behind the scenes making sure all the instruments are getting pulled correctly, making sure they're in good working shape, setting my visitation schedule for the next school year. I'm preparing for the next school year. So that whole summer, I'm doing work behind the scenes that will make the rest of my year go by much smoothly. So I'm doing a lot of prep work at that time. Even getting the van maintained, like that's where I'll do a lot of my maintenance on the van. Like if it needs a new transmission, I try and make it hold out until, you know, I get to the summer. Cause then I won't have it for a week. So, you know, you try and get all the background stuff done then. And even if I don't have anything to do that particular day, like I'll try and, you know, go work in the repair shop, some help out since I've got some skill in that area, you know, I'll help clean some instruments and, you know, help the shop out, you know, with refurbing, you know, or refurbishing old rental instruments, stuff like that, you know, any way I can help and get things done. And in the midst of that, like I said, I try and, you know, I'm trying to be home and be dad and do all those things too, spend some time with the kids because, you know, I'll be busy in the fall. So fall rolls around and that's go time. That is all hands on deck. I mean, you know, you've worked in a store. It is all hands on deck at that time because you're going to be slinging horns left and right. Yeah. Kids need stuff.
Watching them out.
Yeah, you have parents are nervous. Like, teacher said, if I don't have an instrument tomorrow, they're going to be kicked out of class. you know, you got to make sure you get everything out. So I'm doing a whole lot of that stuff at that time. Marching bands going on. So, you know, a lot of the big marching bands in the area are going to competitions, doing their things. I'm trying to make sure they have all their equipment. Any repairs they need are done. I try and go to a few marching competitions and, you know, be a cheerleader, you know, for everybody. And, you know, if they have a good show, I'm like, hey, good job. If they maybe didn't have a good show, I'm like, okay, here, you know, it's all right. Everything's going to be fine. You know, wear that therapist hat again. and then the end of the year, November to December, January, for North Carolina, that's Music Educators Conference is in November. So I go to that. You know, we just have a booth there and we talk to music educators across the state, let them know about
like
us.
Like the NCMEA?
And, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we go and we do that and then it's pretty much just get ready for the next year and do it all over again at that point. So it's one big cycle and you do it long enough, you can see things coming way before they get here because it's so cyclical.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was about to ask you because it sounded like there was a lot of background work and just that prep. Mm-hmm. How long do you feel like it took you before you were able to
before I got it and understood something yeah, something clicked in my head and
where
it
you can
made
start
sense.
Seeing stuff coming.
Yeah. It takes a while. I mean, I had the benefit of being in the store, so it's not like rental season slapped me in the face and I was like, Oh gosh.
This is the thing.
I knew that was coming. But all the new reps that I've ever trained, I've always told them, you will be a pig on roller skates for 3 years.
Okay.
And it really does take about 3 years for you to realize the cycles and to really, things just start clicking in your head and you see things coming way before they get here. So yeah, it really took me, I would say about 3 years. And there were a lot of mistakes I made the first 3 years. I mean, my first district manager, like I said, he'd been doing this since the 60s and he was fantastic. He really took me under his wing and taught me a whole lot of, I mean, he really wrote the book on it. Like literally he wrote a book on this. so there's, you know, he taught me a lot and there were times where I would have a conversation with him, and it would be nothing but him telling me how disappointed he was. God. And, you know, why did you do that? You should have been there for that event. And, you know, and I felt like, oh, gosh, like, you know, it's like your dad chastising right. you. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I won't let that happen again. And he really taught me a lot and took me under his wing. So that helped. And, you know, somebody to really push me and drive me to do better. And I always wanted to do better. So I always tried learning. And that was one of his piece of advice to me when I started was, you know, always be a student of your craft, no matter what you're doing. Always be a student of your craft and learn everything you can learn about the job. And that's what I started doing, was anything I could learn, any book I could read, any advice I could get from some of the old timers that have been doing this a while. Like, we've had some reps that have been doing this for, I think we got one guy on our team now that's been doing this for probably 15 to 20 years. I mean, those are the guys I try and talk to and learn from, because they got tips and tricks that helped me get better at what I'm doing. And they've been doing it longer. So there was things that even past 3 years that I'd, oh, I didn't even think about that. That's great.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And it sounds like, too, like he was really like reflective based. That's what I really appreciate about our old manager, Rachel, was sometimes she'd just sit back and watch, not monster fires, but, you know,
learning kitchen experiences. Fires.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking that time of, okay, now how do we make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah.
And a lot of it, too, was, you know, especially when it would come for, I think it was like May when they were doing the big upgrade your sound. Mm-hmm. One small thing, kind of like what you're talking about, is just planting that seed early on. So when you're writing the instrument, hey, I'm just going to give you a call in 12 months and we're just going to check up. I'm just going to see how you're doing. Going to go over options, keep you informed, and just setting those precedents from the get-go made that process or those relationships over the unfolding years so much smoother. And, you know, they had those expectations. They knew what to expect. And
you know, nothing really, I don't say nothing happens by accident, because some things do, but, you know, I never deal in absolutes. But a lot of times, you know, the more prep you do will really lay the groundwork for success. Like when it came to doing the Upgrade Your Sound events you talked about, I mean, the reason we were all so successful with doing that was a lot of prep work. Yeah. We knew going into it when it was coming and how do we prepare for that. And what mistakes did we do last year? I mean, I do it every summer. Part of what I, you know, going back to the cycles of things and what I do during summer, part of what I do every summer, and this is what I learned in business school, was, you know, doing what they call a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And so I would sit down every summer, and I'm my own worst critic. So I would look at everything I did right, what went well, what could I have done better? And I would be real harsh on myself on that. Like, what could I have done better? What opportunities are there that I did not take advantage of that maybe I should? And then what threats out there are, you know, basically what kind of competition do I have and how do I need to address that and work to make myself better than my competition? So I would sit down and analyze every year and then even talk to my manager and say, okay, what could I do better? And, you know, that's, I think, what's made, helped make me successful. And I think anybody in any job, you know, being able to sit down and do that and analyze really does help. And then it goes back into that prep work to make you, you know, ready for what comes ahead.
Yeah. All right. So aside from, we kind of talked about the interactions with the store, the repair shop, the teachers, is there anyone else that you interact with kind of in the community? Any other like music programs outside of traditional schools?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, when I'm in, when I say I'm a member of the community, I'm a member of the community. I am, you know, Dan the Music Man. I mean, it's, I've got some directors that they'll call me Dan the Music Man or Bandy Claws. I mean, I've been called that many times. Yeah. But I deal with the teachers, the, you know, all the educators, band, orchestra, chorus, all the way to school finance officers at schools, the principals sometimes. It helps to have a good relationship with those people. The secretaries at schools. They decide whether or not you get in or building. So you gotta know them. You gotta talk to them. And I have great relationships with all the secretaries and the front office staff at the schools I visit. I try and smile and say hi every time, ask them how their day is going. And some of them I have great relationships with. But before I even get there, I'm so tight with my schedule that they'll have my visitor's pass ready for me when I get there.
It's awesome.
Wow, man, that's awesome. I don't even have to check in now. Here, go right back. So I'll deal with them. I deal a lot with district personnel. Since I work in Charlotte, I'm in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools office quite a bit, dealing with their district personnel, finance officers, procurement officers, people that buy stuff. I got to know them. And then I also deal a lot with symphony in the area. I talk to them a whole bunch about different things. I've done some things with the youth orchestra, stuff with, there was actually a group that came over from France. There's a French Alliance group here in Charlotte that had a group from France coming, some musicians to play for Bastille Day here in Charlotte. And they didn't have their instruments with them because they didn't want to travel on a plane. So I helped get them instruments, for a Bastille Day. Anybody that needs anything, I mean, we've done things with film groups that have come in. North Carolina is a big place for film industry, and they'll need instruments for a film production. Okay, well, I'll help you do that.
I sold a drum set. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. We do things for them. Cool. So there's a lot of community involvement, churches, anyone and everyone, when I walk out the door, people that know what I do for a living, hey, can you help me do this? Yeah, I know somebody. We'll hook you up. My wife, like I said, I'm a homebody. I don't really like to leave the house all that much, but my wife thinks it's very funny that every time we travel anywhere, it doesn't matter how many states away we'll travel, I'll run into somebody I know, and she'll just, how do you know all these people?
And does the same. Yep.
Yeah. And like, it's like, well, I'm a musician. Like, it's a small community. We all know each other. The musician community in Charlotte's very tight. We all know each other. Or we've played with each other at one point, at some gig. So it's a tight knit community. We all, in the band world, the orchestra world, it's the same thing. It's, we all know each other. So I'm out in the community. I'm a member of the community. And I think that's one of the fun parts about the job is you get to be out and you get to talk to everybody. And when they have a question or they need something, you're the guy.
Yeah.
So they come find you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was about to say, between that and also the fraternity as well, I remember for kicks, we'd always wear one of our letter shirts going off, airport or something like that. And
every
time.
Oh, I've been in Tallahassee, Florida. I'll never forget walking down the street. And I'm wearing my Phi Mu Alpha shirt, and a fireman yelled at me from across the street, I like that shirt.
Right.
And I turn around and he, see him, and we go and talk. And I mean, it's just, I've never met this person in my life, but we have a connection. So cool. Yeah. Hey, let's
That's
talk.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've even had one. We were doing back when I was still in school, just going back and kind of serving community. And so we found these local retirement home. Dude had to be 90, in his 90s. He's like, it's been 50, whatever. He's
I
haven't seen. And he said the thing, did the whole thing. We're like, oh my God. But 90
world.
Plus years old in the retirement home. We're like, man.
As a musician, once you are in this world, you are in this world for life.
Yep. Man. When it comes to other teachers, you mentioned like the accountants and talking with the financial people. So is that is that on you?
I mean, we have people that handle the bills, for the most part. Like we have a commercial accounts department, someone that generates invoices. But when it comes down to, collecting invoices, sometimes that falls down to me. Gotcha. I mean, most everybody pays their bills on time, but you get some things that slip through the cracks. So when that happens, going back to I don't really go out with a baseball bat and break kneecaps or anything like that. That's a little much, but they'll send me out. Like, I'm the one that has the relationship with all these people, so it's much easier coming from me saying, hey, things probably fell through the cracks, you might need to pay this bill, and I'm sorry. Most of the time it's just an innocent mistake or something, again, fell through the cracks, no malice involved. So it's fine, but That's a part of the job. You know, there's a lot of aspects of doing this job, and that's one of them. You have to be your own collections agent. You know, so it's fine. You know, like I said, most people, they get the bill on their email and they just pay it, but sometimes things fall through. You take care of that. Okay. I've done that. I've done, you know, like I'm a repairman for some people, you know, so I'll fix stuff. I have a little understanding of how to do that. So I'm a repairman to some people. To some people, I'm their therapist. Like we said before, you know, I've walked in on, you know, music educators come in their office and they're crying and it's like, oh gosh, it must have been a rough day. Yeah. And I just sit and listen to them and let them vent to me and offer advice if they need it. And, you know, pat them on the back. It'll be okay. You know, stick with it. It's not that bad. Please don't leave. Yeah, don't leave. It's not that bad. So, yeah, I know we do a lot. But, yeah, typically I have somebody help me with most of the behind-the-scenes stuff. We have departments that help.
Okay, so. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I always hit it. We always try to do an event. It was just before I left. So I was talking with Kim over at the shop. I didn't realize they had like a trailer that they'd bring to like marching band competitions. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do like a clinic just for teachers and then have different levels of repair.
Mm-hmm.
And so having like a basic, you know, 1, 2, 3 for like how in depth. So teach, and then you could sell, apparently, you know, Kim was talking about they have these different sets to sell you. Okay, you just need to learn how to repair, you know, cork on the neck and maybe how to jerry rig this pad.
All right.
You know, and I always thought that would have been pretty cool because, yeah, good Lord, I've seen too many teachers try to fix something and, wish Dan should have been there.
Yeah. To quote Clint Eastwood, a good man knows his limitations. Right. You have to know a little bit about where to stop with repair. And that's one of those, like, the wisdom that comes through the years. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a great at repair or anything. I've broken quite a few instruments. My first day on the job, I snapped an oboe key completely off, and, you know, I got kind of, you know, chastised for that by our repair manager at the time. But, you know, live and learn. I learned not to mess with oboes.
Just leave the double reeds alone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I like to bring out the big hammer when it comes time to repair an oboe. You know, instrument sounds like a dead duck anyway. Right. So anyways, it's all good.
I could say that, former bassoon player. So there's my...
Yeah.
I have the card. Man. So is there any do you have any plans or projects coming up in this year? Anything in the works?
Oh, like what? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, things that we our company does that I've been real excited about, especially when it comes to technology.
Okay.
Man, technology has changed, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of things we're doing now, it's made me so much more efficient. Just being able to utilize something as simple as Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
Like, that's helped so much in streamlining. Being able to do parent meetings using Zoom, that's fantastic. I mean, I don't have to truck all this gear out to a school to do a meeting anymore. I can simply do it from my office and talk to all these people and do the meeting, and then they can do the rental right on our website. And that's fantastic. I mean, the way we used to do it with paper, I mean, I would have to sit there and have a stack of 90 to 100 contracts and scan in the contract and enter information in. And I mean, I would sit in a hotel room, you know, back in the day at night and do this until 1 a.m. It was a lot of paperwork. So, you know, you had to do all that, and now everything's just on a tablet or on a computer, and it's just so much faster. And the technology improves every year, year over year, and we've really worked to streamline things as much as possible, which makes it easier for the customer. They have a better experience. I have a better experience. It reduces my workload a whole lot. I mean, what used to take me 2 days to do, I can now do in 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's just so much better. And every year, new things come out, and I'm always so excited when something new comes out, because it's like, yeah, I'm at this point in the game, I'm not quite an old dog yet, but, you know, I'm getting to that point. But it's like, man, I love new stuff. I'm like, bring it on. Let me find a way to adapt this and make it work. So I never know quite what's coming out, like, till it's here.
Right.
But I'm always excited. There's always something new coming out that helps me do this job so much easier. But that aside, I'm always looking forward to spring break. I'm always looking forward to summer breaks. So, you know, there's always something there to look forward to. Take a little breather in between, you know.
Well, that's cool. Well, and that's one thing I noticed because, yeah, they were just starting to implement that as I was phasing out. I thought it was really cool because the teachers could go in and have their preferences and the transparency just on the parents and the store's end. I just remember getting so much easier and just reducing that risk too of having to hand put that in information. Okay, did I grab the right thing? Did I, you know, because we just have to memorize, oh, this school had this book, this school.
Yeah.
Oh, but not this school. This one, you know, they use size 3 reads instead of 2.5. And
it's all done for you now. Yeah. I mean, and it's, it took a lot of work to get to that point, but man, I mean, again, everything you do, you try and do it to make the customer's experience better. And it's now to the point where, oh man, what I used to dread some years has now just turned into something that's so easy to do. And I'm like, man, if we can only get better at it and you just give more time, more effort. And I mean, and our whole company works to do that. Like you know, sometimes, you know, you work for a company and people just always wonder what goes on behind the scenes and do they really care? And are they paying attention to what we're saying on the front lines? And I can tell you with absolute certainty, yes, they are paying attention. And yes, they are doing something about it. It just takes some time. You know, you work for a larger company and it gets, you know, you have to go through different levels of approvals and stuff, but your concerns are heard. And I feel like they do a good job of that. And that's what's made a lot of this technology possible is we finally found a way to implement it and make it work for us. And every year we look at it and we streamline it and we streamline it and make it better. What went wrong? Again, doing the SWOT analysis. What went wrong? What could we do better? And we do it. And so every year, like I said, the technology is so much better compared to when I started with my little 3G gateway netbook that functioned better as a paperweight than it did as a computer. And a candy bar slider phone, if you remember those things, that could not text. I don't know why I had a slider phone that couldn't text, but we couldn't text. I couldn't text the director to say I'm here. You know, it was crazy to me. And now I've got this iPhone that I'm just like, I can answer emails from this. I can do all this stuff. I'm like, man, if you would have told, you know, me 10 years ago that, hey, you're going to have all this capability, I would have been like, you're joking. There's no way. But yeah, it's great now. I mean, it's so much more easier. I mean, I was in the store when we still faxed orders to publishers. Oh, wow. And now it's all done just instantaneously. If I place a special order to a publisher, it's done. The second I create the sales order, it's done. I'm like, that, I mean, it blew my mind in 2009 that we were still faxing things. I'd never operated a fax machine until then. So, but yeah, the technology has changed a whole lot. And it's like I said, even since the pandemic, it's accelerated faster and faster because we need to.
Yeah.
And we were forced to. But man, has it made the job so much better.
For someone interested in educational rep position, what characteristics do you feel like would best suit a potential applicant?
It's a very unique skill set to do this job. You need to have a knowledge of what a music educator needs. So you need to have your toe in that world somewhere. You know, coming from, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. As long as you're a musician, you know, to some degree, you're going to be fine. But if you were a former band or orchestra kid, that's going to help you in a lot of ways because you kind of know that culture a little bit. So that helps. Not a necessity, but it helps. Being a musician is an absolute necessity, and knowing the product is an absolute necessity. You do need to know that. Aside from those things, organization, you need to be very organized to do this. I talked about spinning plates earlier. That's the way it feels at some parts of the year. I feel like I'm spinning 2 or 3 plates on a stick and riding a unicycle at the same time. And you've got to watch all these things and focus on them and make sure things run. You know, occasionally you drop a plate, but you try and pick it back up quick and get it back on the, you know, spinning again. So as long as you're organized, you'll survive. You know, again, it'll still take you the 3 years to get off that pig on roller skates, but it takes a while. And then you also need to be very self-motivated. Many reps are in remote areas. You don't have a store. You don't talk to your manager every day. Nobody is watching what you do, except the educators you serve.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to just say, oh, well, I won't go to that school today. Oh, I'm not going to do this today. And that can snowball into you missed one visit to you missed two visits, you missed three visits, and then you haven't been there in 3 months. So you have to be very self-motivated to do this. I mean, my drive for me, you know, we talked about being in fraternity, you know, being in Phi Mu Alpha, our object is to promote music in America, the main focus of what we do. And I try and live that every day. That's what I want to do. And so my motivation is, like I said before, I could be handing a trumpet to the next Miles Davis. I could be, you know, handing a flute to the next Lizzo. Like, I don't know. Like, and I think that's the coolest part of this job. So that's what drives me to do what I do. And yeah, it's like, okay, if I make some sales, awesome. Yay, I look good on paper. But it's not why I do this. Why I do it is, you know, because I'm creating new musicians every day. So that's cool. I just hand these instruments, these kids, and then these teachers just teach them and boom, you know. So like the teachers get a lot of the credit, as they should. They're doing a lot of the legwork, but then there's me behind the scenes helping keeping things function for them. And so it's like, I don't look for the praise, but it's like, man, you know, that's kind of cool that I'm just back here.
Yeah.
Just doing the things and making things work and getting kids involved in music. And I get to do that every day. So that motivation's what drives me. And that's different for, you know, everybody else. You know, that motivation has to be intrinsic. It's what's inside you. So as long as you're organized, as long as you're motivated and you're a musician that loves music and wants to do it, you will be absolutely fine at this job. Like I said, it's tough, and I don't want everybody to be scared away from saying it's tough, but it is so worth it and so fulfilling. I mean, there are days where I've wanted to slam my head on my steering wheel in that van and go, why am I still doing this? But then when you walk in and you bring a kid their repaired instrument back and you see them smile because they've missed their instrument, you know, for the past week and a half, it's like, okay, I feel better. That made it all worth it again.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's very... Well, it's interesting too, because I feel like that position alone, it's easy to think about as like a solo operation. Like, I'm just here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the more you talk about it, it just screams like team player. And while it might not be always around other people, so, you know, you might be in the van a lot.
Yeah.
Still, like, the premise of what you do is literally everybody else.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and when I started, again, like, the jobs changed. Like, when I started, I was one of the remote guys. Like, I drove every day between Charleston and Columbia and to parts of South Carolina that I don't even think you can find on a map. I mean, just way, way out in the sticks. So I was by myself all the time, listened to a lot of podcasts, listened to a lot of radio. If it wasn't for satellite radio, yeah, I probably would have just, you know, driven off of, you know, the road somewhere. But yeah, it's easy to get caught in that little bubble where you just operate on your own. And I've been there. And I hated that. You know, I don't want to do that. And I was like, but when I started talking to store staff more and I started talking to the repair shop more, and it really is a team effort to make this function, that changes perspective too. And you're like, oh, you know. And so for some of the remote guys, that's been the benefit of the technology, is having teams. I mean, as we're sitting here talking, I can feel my phone going off constantly in my pocket. And that's all the other guys talking back and forth and chatting on Teams, because that's our communication method. You know, it's like a group chat where we can, hey, you guys know about this product, like, where can I find this, or do you know if this exists? Man, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, anybody want to chat real quick and keep me awake, you know, as I'm driving? I mean, we do that kind of stuff all the time. We're always talking to each other, so even though we may be 1,000 miles apart, we're still one big team. We all work together and we all help each other. So it's like kind of that great
network. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What are ways you've seen other people kind of take it to the next, that extra mile?
I mean, it really goes back to the relationship side of things. You know, a good ed rep, they manage to hit their sales goals. They manage to hit their instrument rental goals. Like, all the goals that are set for anybody, you hit the benchmarks. Like, any job, you have certain accomplishments you need to do or certain tasks you need to do and goals you need to hit. And I mean, any job, any employee, as long as you hit those goals, you're good. You know, you're not terrible. You're good. So there's that. But what makes a good rep a awesome rep and an amazing rep is the ability to build relationships with educators and work with them and understand them and empathize with them and really get to know them better than they know themselves. Because that helps you foresee, you know, traps that they may walk into, or, you know, hey, this director usually forgets to order their music in time for, you know, a concert. Hey, remember this year you need to order that stuff ahead of time. You know, you get to learn things like that. That makes you amazing. And that's what I've been learning through the years, and I still try and constantly improve and make better, is working on that relationship building aspect and forcing myself out of my comfort zone to do those things to make those relationships better and get to know my customers on a more personal level. You know, it's like, yeah, they're, you know, a customer, they're people I call on, but they're also friends to me. You know, we see each other out in the community. Hey, how you doing? And we sit and we chat, and, you know, and hey, how's your family? How, you know, getting to know people on a more personal level. And I think that's what makes a good rep a great rep. And all of the guys that have done this, there's one of the guys, he's retired now. He used to work for one of our vendors. He's probably the best rep for a vendor or for a music retailer that I've ever met, hands down. And that's what he does. Like, I mean, I'll go up and I'll see him. I haven't seen him in 6 months or a year. And he's like, hey, Dan, how you doing? How's your family? How's your wife? You know, you got 3 kids now, right? Wow. Yeah. How are they? You know? And it's like, man, how did he remember all that?
No.
I mean, and he keeps tabs on things. You know, yeah, we have social media and he watches that. But it's the fact that he came up and asked me about it. So I try and emulate that and do that with, you know, my customers where I can. Is like, you know, if the opportunity presents itself while we're talking, like, hey, how's your family? You know, I saw that you did this, you know, on Facebook. How was that? You know, oh, you went hiking this weekend. Man, that's cool. Where'd you go? Like, you know, how much does it cost to do that? I want to go do that. Well, that sounds like fun. You know, and we're just talking, but it's like you feel a deeper connection with that person. So it's like, that's kind of, cool.
Well, when it kind of takes me back, I remember we started doing that in the store way back when. Okay, especially me, because my finger was more on the lesson side of things while I was there. And whenever the teacher might have a break or a student didn't show up, instead of them letting them just sit in that room alone, reaching out, you know, not bugging them, but, you know, just taking some time, just kind of talk to them. And,
yeah.
And that relationship and just seeing all the relationships with all the teachers, you know, at first it was a little estranged. And like, okay, well, you're off in your room, I'm behind the desk.
Mm-hmm.
To then become to where like they would just start coming out of the room and just talking with us at the front counter. And
yeah,
it was cool because we started to develop these more personal relationships. But then we also got into, you know, what are things I can do to make your life easier? What are, you know, are there certain students you prefer to teach more than others? What's your sweet spot? Can you teach me about things? You know,
yeah,
you're a violin player. What's the difference between these bows? Why?
Yeah.
But like, I, you know,
there's a lot of knowledge to be shared out there that you may not even thought you needed to know that, but man, when you learn it, it's like, oh, that comes in so handy later on. And then one day you're out somewhere and it clicks and you're like, oh, I remember talking to this person about that. No, you should try this. Yep. And it's great. And that's the, like I said, the wonderful part about this job and what makes that good rep great is learning to build that network to where if I'm helping a new educator who may not have all that experience yet, and like, and they tell me, oh, well, you know, I'm really having this problem and I can't figure out how to teach this. I'm like, oh, I know somebody that can do that for you. Let me introduce you. And then have them hook up with that person. And then their whole life has changed. And it's like, and you get to see that and be a part of that.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, and that you're expanding their network at the same time. And it's just like, man, there's a lot that if we all just spent time talking to one another, you know, we could learn. So yeah, that's the fun part of the job. And again, that's what makes, you know, you can be an okay rep. You can just do your job or you can really do your job and go beyond and be so much more. And I think that's where, you know, when I learned that, that's what helped me really understand the job better and make me better at what I do. Yeah. So
I like that. And I feel like you also just enjoy it more.
Like it's fun to actually have fun at work, right, and you don't just show up and, you know, yeah, I could just go and do my schedule and then at the end of the day be like, yeah, screw this, I'm going back home. But, right. You know, no, it's more fun, and I'm not saying I don't have bad days, but, yeah, it's when you put it into perspective, it's like, man, I have the best job in the world, and I really feel that way. I'm like, I've thought about doing other things. I'm like, would I have fun doing that? No, I wouldn't have fun doing that. I mean, where else can a musician go and do this and be involved in music still and really have fun with it? And this is it. So, yeah, I'm not – I've told many people before, like, the only way I'm leaving this job is when I finally hit retirement age or I just keel over. That's the only ways. Like, I love it, so I'm staying.
Well, thank you for taking the time out. Just kind of talk through what you do, and hopefully this helps. You know, anyone kind of curious about getting into that industry, and
if you want to do it, we're always hiring. We always need people. We're growing, so come on out.